You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Catherine Lanfer is joining me today as filling in for John Hockenberry. And right now we're going to take a look at the Endangered Species Act. Three times just might be a charm for the Bush administration when it comes to revising that 1973 Endangered Species Act. A court rejected one plan. Congress failed to pass another. And now a new proposal is on the table which would allow federal agencies and officials to determine for themselves whether proposed highways, dams, harbors, or any other kind of project will have an adverse effect on endangered species. That would also mean none of the plans would have to be reviewed by independent scientists, which really has been the standard procedure for 35 years, long before global warming emerged as an issue. And as you can imagine, the proposals triggered immediate responses, some criticism, some support. And joining us now to parse through the proposal is Kash Arha. He is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And also with us is Carla Rettig, Legislative Representative for Wildlife Conservation with the National Wildlife Federation. Thanks to both of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Kash, let's start with you. How are these proposals different from the last two attempts, and what are the goals?
Well, Kathy and Adora, good morning, and that's a good question. This proposal is a very narrow and tailored proposal that affects one section of the Endangered Species Act, the Section 7, that covers how federal actions may have any effect on the well-being of a threatened or endangered species or their critical habitat. And this proposal captures the practices that have evolved over the last 30 years of administering Endangered Species Act. It leaves most of the important element or the basic element of Section 7 as they are, which is what are the jeopardy standards? I mean, what are the standards of federal action having any sort of jeopardizing the well-being of the listed species or their critical habitat? When do you and how do you go about doing formal consultations? What are the standards for adverse modification for critical habitat of these species? It addresses the gray areas, the marginal areas, where we are talking about what is the difference between a federal action that may have no effect on listed species or may have some may effect mm-hmm. on them. And it's that marginal area, that gray area, where there is procedural confusion or, let's say, lack of direction or clarity, but practice has evolved to a certain level that we can provide now based on that practice over the last 35 years, some guidance as to what results in a no effect, when can action agencies determine no effect or may effect, and what that does.
Doesn't it really go beyond that, if I may interject for one second, because isn't it more than just process when you are talking about whether or not any of these proposals would be reviewed by a scientist to determine the impact or not on those endangered species? That would be a substantive question, wouldn't it?
No, because scientists are reviewing it anyway. We're talking about federal agencies like Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, EPA, and Army Corps of Engineers. They have on their staff wildlife biologists just like U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service do. They've gone to the same schools. They've gone the same certification. So their wildlife biologist would review and make the assessment whether their federal mm-hmm. actions would have no effect. So there is scientific review here.
Okay. You know what? Why don't we let Carla come in? Because certainly, Carla, there's been many critics who say essentially this is not just a narrow change, that it is a serious threat to the safeguards that have been set up by the Endangered Species Act.
It's a very serious threat. It's not a narrow proposal to modify Section 7, which is really one of the cornerstones of the Endangered Species Act. It would basically eliminate informal consultation, which is very important to ensure that action agencies, the federal agencies such as the Corps and the Forest Service, are having independent review of their decisions to go forward on actions and address the threats to species. The Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service are the expert agencies. They have the capability, they have the experience, and they should be reviewing these decisions to make sure that any impacts do get elevated to formal consultation when necessary. And further, there are also other changes in the proposal, such as the scope of the action that's under review. It narrows that scope. It imposes a 60-day time frame in which the Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service have to act. Otherwise, the project gets to go forward,
But Carla, isn't this really onerous, this entire process? Couldn't it use with a little streamlining?
It's not an onerous process at all. I mean, if the agency makes the right determination that it doesn't have any effect, then the Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service review will be quick. But mm-hmm. if they're not making the right determination, and that's what we want to make sure happens, that there's still the extra layer of review, that's a really important step. And it really, the agencies are underfunded, and that might be part of any problem with timing, but that burden shouldn't be put on the back of endangered and threatened species.
Kosh, your thought on that, that perhaps that safeguard is really needed, that level of scientific review is needed?
Well, you mentioned it, and we do have the oversight. Again, when formal consultations do occur, they will be just like they are done today. When we have adverse modification standards, they are just as they are today. Your point, as you mentioned, about streamlining is right on. All we are talking about is the agencies to make the determination when there may be no effect. When there is any effect, when there is a May effect, you do go through informal consultations just like we did before. If you have any take, we are doing formal consultations on it. So it is just about saying, can we focus our efforts mm-hmm. at the actions that really do have an impact, and so we can work towards that and alleviate those impacts rather than spend our scarce resources dealing with no effect.
With no effect. And we're going to have to leave it there. And clearly this is something that will continue to be debated as it's open to the public. Kosh Arha, Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, thank you so much. And Carla Redding, Legislative Representative for Wildlife Conservation with the National Wildlife Federation, thank you both.
Thank you.